Hello, and thanks for joining us. This is the Parent Primer Podcast, food for thought geared towards family members who are getting ready to attend Intermountain Residential's quarterly workshops. We refer to these workshops as Life Day, which stands for Learning Through Interactive Family Experiences. I'm your host, Sammy Pactoner, chaplain, social worker in training, and foster to adoption parent. In today's episode, we discuss our brains and how they function under stress and crisis. While we spend a lot of time figuring out how to help our kids de-escalate, it is also important that we process what works for us as humans, as adults, as caregivers. Let's dive in. All right, I'm here with Adriana, who is a direct care staff here on campus.
Hello.
Adriana, could you share about your position and how long you've worked for Intermountain?
I've worked for Intermountain for about 10 months now, and I am a behavioral specialist. So I'm working on the floor with the kiddos about 40 hours a week.
Okay. What time of the day does your shift usually start? Like, are you seeing them in the morning, afternoon?
In the afternoon.
Afternoon. And do you spend some of the weekend with them too?
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you see them, you pick them up from school.
Yep.
And you're one of the staff that are supporting phone calls.
Yes, I do a lot of phone calls.
Check in, check out from therapies.
Yep.
Dinner,
yes.
Bedtime routine.
Oh, yes, all of it.
Nighttime meds.
Yes.
Tuck-ins.
Yes.
All of that. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of caregiving.
It is.
So we have recently been starting to use and train Ukeru, which is a crisis management approach that focuses on trauma-informed care and de-escalation, moving away from physical intervention and more toward de-escalating through space, less words. The parents, they're all going to learn about that at Life Day. And we're just starting to use some of Ukeru's specific strategies on campus. It's all done through understanding how the brain functions in trauma, being aware of that, noticing the signs, and using that to understand what's going on for the kiddo. But we're not going to talk about kids de-escalating or escalating as much in the podcast today. I want to hear about, as you as a staff person, as a caregiver, kiddos that are often escalated and have a lot of trauma, a lot of things that they're bringing into the space, energy, emotions that you have to still get them through the evening and support them. I would love to hear about how you kind of come into work and maybe how you are able to keep yourself regulated, or when you do feel pretty dysregulated or escalated, how do you regulate yourself and stay present in the cottage?
Yeah. I would say the beginning of my shift is dependent on the day, because some days there's meetings and some days I can just go straight up to the cottage before picking up the kids. So it kind of varies depending on day. But typically if I'm just going up into the cottage, it's empty. It's always other coworkers that are there. So it's always nice to kind of see where they're at too mentally and how they're feeling that day. And I like to, like, share how I'm feeling, whether I'm, like, really goofy today or if I'm kind of like, ugh, I just don't know how I'm really feeling. Just so they can help me out on the floor as well. I always like to get a good snack before I pick up the kids, always. It's a pickle. Pickle and cheese. I don't know why, but that really helps me. Pickle, cheese, and mustard.
Electrolytes.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what I do usually before the shift. During shift, to keep myself regulated, I like to color. even when I'm feeling like I'm dysregulated, I like to sit down and color because I feel like it brings your mind into a certain focus. And mm-hmm. I don't know, it's kind of fun. You can color next to the kids and you can share like, oh, what color should I use for this? And it's a little bit more interactive, but it's at a slower pace. Mm-hmm. So it kind of slows your whole body down, which I really appreciate. Or else I'd go on walks, especially that it's not winter anymore. It's lighter out. So it's nice to be able to get out, just take a little walk around the cottage. It's beautiful outside. The nature is really nice, very grounding. And that's what I usually typically do. When I go home, that's more of a, I don't like the dark, but I like to walk through the dark after like a long shift, or if there was a lot going on during that shift, I'll put music on and I'll just like walk and I'll look at the moon. I love the moon. So I like to just take a moment to glance up and just realize, okay, this is like, everything's really still. And I just like to feel myself breathe a little bit more and just realize that it was a tough day, but at the end of the day, it's still really still outside and it's pretty lovely.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
How about in the moment, in the cottage, maybe a kid struggling or the energy feels really high and sitting at the table and coloring isn't quite available for you?
Quite working. I would say in those moments, it's a little bit harder in the moment to recognize what you're feeling, but I like to acknowledge if a kid is becoming escalated, I like to look back at like what my energy is to be like, oh, am I the one that's raising the energy? Am I like the one that's driving it? And if I am, or like if my tone is off, or if I'm just a little bit more direct, and I probably should not be as direct in that moment, because as you said earlier, like the more words when they're in a dysregulated space isn't helpful or beneficial in that moment. So I always like to look back at what my energy is, and if it is heightened, then I'm like, okay, I need to take a breath. Like either I'll switch out with another staff member if I'm not being able to assist appropriately because of where my head is at or where my energy is at in the moment. I do like to breathe with the kids. I'll have them put their hands on their head with me and I'm like, let's take some deep breaths, because I feel like we're both just kind of mirroring each other, feeding off of each other. So I do a lot of breathing work or like breath work in the cottage during those times, just to keep my central system a little bit more regulated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I think something that I didn't realize very much until I started working here, even if a kiddo, let's say their brain's pretty offline, they're pretty escalated and upset, they're also just still very hypervigilant to other people's energies and emotions, and it can be really tough calling out, you know, maybe anger or frustration to an adult, and they're spot on, and it's really hard to admit that. And you're like, I'm not mad, things like that. I think can be tough in the moment too, especially if we are if we haven't had a lot of chance in our own lives to maybe claim our own sadness, our own anger. So when someone says that we're that, especially when they're probably right. Adriana showed up to work mad today. And you're like, I did not.
What? No.
Things like that. I think that is particularly difficult in this job, is in those heightened moments and like being able to just slow down and be like, oh, you're right. Like, to be congruent with how we're feeling too, and slow ourselves down.
And I think it's really beneficial to let the kids know that as their caretakers in the moment, like we also are going through things and our emotions do come out as well. So we're all trying to figure out how to keep our emotions more regulated in moments. And the fact that they can see adults go through different feelings and emotions, I think is quite beneficial, because adults and the kiddos can like work together to be like, oh, like, in these situations, this is how I feel, but this is what helps me. And this is a very normal thing that happens to everyone. It's just trying to figure out when that's starting within you to be able to address it.
What keeps you coming back to work?
Oh, gosh. I love these kiddos. They're They're great. Just being able to see their accomplishments and how far they have come, even like day-to-day basis, just their little accomplishments is great. And they're funny. They're so funny. Like, they keep me on my toes. Little comedians for sure. And I learn a lot from these kids. They teach me something every day. And I'm like, wow, this is like really cool. And I let them know that. I'm like, you teach me something every day. Like, I hope you know you're pretty cool.
That's great. Well, thank you, Adriana.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
Being interviewed.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, I am here with Megan this go around. Megan, could you share your job title and how many years you've worked at Intermountain and some of the other job titles you've had?
I am the executive director of the residential program, and I have been with Intermountain for 21 years now. I started as a direct care staff and did all of the different levels of that for I think like 4.5 years before becoming a cottage supervisor. And then I went back to grad school to get my master's in social work and stayed on part-time during that period of my life and was a mentor and a trainer, and then came back as part-time therapist as well as residential manager, then moved into the executive director role around 11 years ago. Okay. 12, maybe 12 years.
Wow, you've seen a lot.
I have seen a lot.
You've seen a lot.
I have a lot of stories.
I've been privy to some of those stories. That's great. So we're talking about Ukeru a bit. That's what our parent training is about. What is one of the biggest reasons you felt it was important for us to be trained and start using something like Ukeru?
Ukeru isn't necessarily anything new for us. It just really wonderfully aligns with our developmental relational model and how we believe things should be viewed and approached when a child is struggling. What I really love about it is that when we think about what has happened to the child, what they've experienced, so that developmental aspect of it, it's not just what has happened to them, but in this moment, what is happening in their brain. And Ukeru covers that really well. And I like the way that the information is really accessible for all of us to think through. So when we know what's happening in the brain of a dysregulated child, then we know how to intervene. And that fits with our developmental relational model in the way of when we understand some of the developmental impacts that a kid has experienced, we know how to meet the need more appropriately because we're thinking through it in a way of solution that helps them meet some of those developmental milestones that they struggled with in the past. But that's all because of what's happening in the brain. It's all because of the early wiring that has occurred for them, and or maybe some other ways that their brain kind of functions in general, including impacts of ADHD or autism spectrum. So when we use a Ukeru framework, like I said, it just matches so much with our model, but it can take aspects of how frustrating the kids' behaviors can be at times when they're dysregulated. And when we use our brain differently, we can think about it in a way that makes sense as to what they're experiencing, rather than, I think what can happen so often for all of us is that big behaviors from kids often don't feel like they make sense when we don't view it from a different perspective.
Right. Right. Like a tantrum.
Right.
By a 13-year-old.
Right. For a really reasonable expectation. That's like, oh, kiddo, you did this yesterday.
Right.
Why are you struggling with it today? And maybe something else has happened that has them just a little off today. Or maybe we said it a little different this time.
So the parents are going to learn about Ukeru, be trained in it at Life Day, and learn about how to respond to their kids. We wanted to talk in the podcast a little bit about the importance of parents being able to regulate, de-escalate, be aware of our own nervous systems. What is one of the hardest lessons you've learned about your own nervous system when working with this population of kids?
I really like to get it right. I really dislike messing up. And so I think the hardest thing for me was that no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot always get it right because I'm human, because I have my own nervous system, I have my own responses. And so as much as I am generally like a pretty patient, calm, understanding person, I also have moments where I can get really knocked off balance, or, you know, we could use the word triggered. We can use a lot of different words for that. And I think for me, when I think back on all my times of interacting with kids when things are hard, whether that's big emotions or other big behaviors, the one that really knocks me off center the most is when I'm scared I can't keep a kid safe. Mm. And that was a huge learning curve for me over all of my time, and still is day in and day out right now. If I'm helping to try to de-escalate a child, the amount of self-reflection it takes after we've missed it is something that can be a little exhausting. It was hard for that self-reflection to not come with self-judgment, mm-hmm. which became pretty unproductive. But over time, I think as I have been able to learn my tells, as we say it here, so like, how are you going to tell that you're about to be offline or triggered mm-hmm. when we're using some of our own self-reflection techniques to help us grow around here? So what are my tells? And I had to learn what they were early enough to not be in the place of, now I am so worried about safety in this situation that I have a heightened voice level, I have a heightened intensity about all that I'm doing. And it's the opposite of what the kid needs from me, right? So learning my early tells of, oh, my shoulders have gone up closer to my ears, my breathing is faster, I start using a voice that sounds a whole lot like my mom's when she was upset when I was a kid. Because imagine that. It's all about our early functioning as well. And so it, you know, it's just taking time to really figure it out, I think, has been the most important factor for me within that, not getting stuck in my own judgment for when I don't get it right. I think the other thing is it's equally as important to figure out when we do it right, what was working for us then too. Mm-hmm. Like, was the setting or the situation or support from another person I was with the thing that helped me stay most centered and most effective in my interventions with the kids? Or was it something I did for myself? Did I recognize I was starting to get anxious about the situation and take a few deep breaths and slow down and think through what is happening for the kid right now, rather than just responding to what the behavior is that's going on? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is one of the biggest takeaways you want our families or any family to receive from Ukeru?
It takes practice and patience with yourself and a real desire to master a new response. And I think parents, you'll get this after you've gone through the training, but it's like the bike. Mm. And I love the bike video and analogy because it is us learning something so incredibly different. Because as humans, we don't stop and think through things naturally. We don't stop and think through things to the level that this kind of training is promoting that we do in order to be effective. We can practice that in non-heightened moments. We can practice it when it's between ourselves and a family member, our spouse, our other support systems. I think, I guess, like I was saying earlier, I can't emphasize enough that it's really important to do this in a way that you can minimize the amount of judgment or guilt you may have on yourself for the times that you've missed it, and know that you're going to keep on missing it at mm-hmm. times, even with 21 years of experience. I can be done with a situation with a kid where I wasn't very effective in helping and go, ugh, me again. Mm-hmm. And it's okay now. It used to be hard, but it's okay now for me to just be able to be human and know that my biggest opportunity from then on is to be able to go back and repair with the kid mm-hmm. and say, I wish I would have done it different.
Work.
The number, okay. Let's see here. Can I identify three things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three.
number one is the kids and watching their growth, obviously. And with that comes the growth of the families. And watching a family who's kind of had their aha moment or been able to really dig in and make some shifts in understanding what's most effective for their kid, and the relief and confidence that comes for parents from that is really cool. Being surrounded by the wonderful humans that work here keeps me coming back every day when it's hard, because it's remarkable to see the level of care and heart that all of our staff bring into this work day in, day out. It's not easy, and it's not always rewarding. Mm-hmm. It is eventually rewarding, but there are days it's more draining than not. And to see everybody boost each other up and support one another is really, really incredible. And then lastly, I get to just constantly practice being a better human. I can be a better mom. I can be a better wife. I can be a better friend. I can be a better director, with all of the aspects of things that come into play that are about understanding ourselves and learning from our experiences and growing.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.